Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Kings Podcast. Oh, what a week. The kind of week that hurts your heart, but that there's still hope in. Folks, if there's one overall positive takeaway from all the tragedies this week, it's this. Something I think almost nobody has noticed. We have run the narrative from start to finish. We have controlled it with absolute totality on all the stories that mattered. That was a physical, technological impossibility just 3 years ago. The media can't lie anymore. They can't cover up who they are anymore. The left can't cover up who they are anymore. They have to live with who they are. And the horror show they have built, lied, and manipulated their base into. That's why Charlie Kirk was assassinated this week. The frustration of not being able to control the narrative, of not having total media supremacy, and thus the ability to lie and manipulate an entire nation. It's gone. Like it's never been gone before in human history. Humanity has never heard from the little guy, has never heard the truth from the little guy, made possible again by X, as I always say, the lack of censorship, but also technology we didn't have before. We're in a whole new era. And with Charlie Kirk, they merely killed the messenger in rage because they don't know what else to do. It was the ultimate overt form of censorship because their media can't censor us anymore. And the censors in the intel community can't do it either. They don't know what to do. It manifests for them as having to actually hear things they disagree with. It makes them angry. It makes them violent. They're in a panic because they know they're losing. The best measure I'll say this week is Topic Pulse. Again, my favorite tool, expensive, huge subscription fee on it. Mostly newsrooms use it. We use it as a company. And you watch the top trend 10 trending all week. It was what we wanted to talk about. They tried desperately to cancel Irina Zaruska, even as her horrific death and the full unedited video of her being stabbed to death and dying alone in terror on that rail car came out. They couldn't stop it. They couldn't hide it. They couldn't control it. Nor could they control the story of how Democrat criminal policies put him right there on that rail car waiting for her. And when I look at Topic Pulse this week, I look at the top 20 every day. About half the articles in it are ours. No one would have seen them 3 years ago without X, with the FBI, as I always tell you, withholding this stuff. This is why the left is getting violent. This is the why the left is panicking. They have lost control and they know they cannot win a fair debate, which leads us to insane thing number four. Everyone, every Democrat in Just World who voted to reelect this week, Democrat Charlotte Mayor Viola Lyles should be forced to sit and watch an unedited video of the murder of Irina Zaruska. Immediately, the left tried what they always do, to cancel her for the crime of embarrassing them by dying, by defying the narrative, by bleeding in a blue city, thanks to their policies. The sentence is always cancellation for that with the left. It doesn't matter if you were a great voter of theirs prior to that. You have committed the gravest sin, disproving the narrative by dying and embarrassing the party. By the way, do you know she was a BLM supporter? Oh, yeah, young white woman, right in their demographic. They wanted her gone, her story buried, up into the point where even the mayor of Charlotte thanked their media partners. I guess she's talking about the mainstream media for burying this, for not talking about it. Didn't work. That callous behavior would bite them in the butt twice this week because in the beginning of the week, the full video wasn't out. By the end of the week, it was. And you saw the callousness from the beginning of the week through the frame of the horror of the video from the end of the week. And they had no justification for this whatsoever, folks. And almost prophetically, weirdly, Van Jones on CNN blamed the whole thing not on Democrat policies, which are definitely enforced in Charlotte, 14 times arrested, let out the door every single time but one. No, he blamed Charlie Kirk.
Hurt people hurt people. What happened was horrible, but it becomes an opportunity for people to jump on bandwagons. And then for someone like Charlie Kirk, he should be ashamed of himself. No one mentioned the word race, white, black, or anything except him. What people mentioned is the horror of what happened to this young woman.
Turns out that wasn't true. Turn the volume up on the full video, and you'll see why they didn't want it out. Why Vi Lyles, mayor of Charlotte, tried to intimidate the media into not running it. Do you know what he says? As she's fighting for her life, clutching her destroyed neck and the wound that would eventually kill her. He's literally dripping her blood as he says, I got the white girl. I got the white girl. I got the white girl. That changes everything. First of all, it means Van Jones is full of crap and Charlie Kirk was right. This was a deliberate racially oriented murder. If he said, I got the white CIA agent, then you go, well, he's schizophrenic, delusional, crazy. This shows he knew exactly what he was doing. He didn't have a paranoid delusion. He didn't think she was after him. He just wanted to kill a white girl. Why? He was more than likely as hepped up on the lying mainstream media's talking points as anybody else in this nation. The lies they've told for years about police shootings and supposedly racially motivated killings that really weren't. I got the white girl. And it would turn out Greg Gutfeld nailed this on Fox News.
I'm tired also of the term mental illness being used as a cover for criminality. When a thug targets a woman, that is not insane. He knows she's weaker. When he comes from behind with a knife, that's not insane. He minimizes her ability to inflict harm on him. When the thug flees, that's sane because he knows if he stays, he'll be arrested. So what would be insane would be if he were to face off against a man without a weapon, somebody like a terrorist. That would be insane. You'd go, okay, that's crazy. But almost all of these people that do this stuff, they go after women. That is not insane. That's self-preservation. This is not insanity. It's an evil mind. And it's an evil mind that is somehow excused in a culture that weaponizes victim status. In this case, mental illness.
No, that video proves he knew exactly who he was killing. He knew exactly what he was doing. He wasn't having a break from reality. In other words, it was that kind of thing that the left has burned entire city blocks over. The exact kind of thing that the left did $2 billion worth of damage over in the Summer of Love. And they buried it. Or tried to.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Insane thing number three. Now we know why the left, Democrat senators, and a couple of sellouts on the right in the Senate went buck wild last week demanding that RFK resign as the head of Health and Human Services. What drove them? They were screaming that he wasn't doing science after taking hundreds of thousands of dollars of donations from pharmaceutical companies, of course. Why now? Why the hysteria? Well, this week we found out because the FDA just launched an exhaustive study of the, get this, 200 dead children from the COVID vaccine reported by either their doctors or their families or both to the VAERS system. That's the early warning government-funded, government-created shot system. It's supposed to serve as a canary in the coal mine if there's a shot that does damage. And typically somewhere between 1% and 10% of the injuries, fatalities, etc., are reported to VAERS. Again, it was created by Congress. It's the gold standard for research, or was, until suddenly, after the shot came out, people started dying and the media insisted no one look at it anymore. 200 dead children in VAERS. What does that mean? Best case scenario, that shot killed 2,000 children. And Dr. Marty Makary, celebrated professor at Johns Hopkins in their medical school, longtime medical opinion writer for the Wall Street Journal. In other words, a guy who's got the respectable chops, is going through and running an exhaustive study on those children. They're going to pull autopsies. They're going to pull it all. The pharmaceutical companies can't hide from this anymore. Neither can the 1,500 bureaucrats who anonymously, not using their own names, signed that demand form that RFK resigned. They're beginning to cover up for what they did. And it turns out the Democrats lied with numbers a lot. We learned this week that the Bureau of Labor Statistics posted the largest jobs revision in U.S. financial history, 991,000 fake jobs, all created, I believe, by Biden appointees to make it look like the Biden administration and Kamala Harris were accomplishing something. Now, remember, folks, go back before the midterms 2022, and Joe Biden quickly economically decimated the country. Basically, they looted, printing so much money in between budgets that they basically broke the back of the country. 9% inflation, you know the story. They needed some good talking point economically, but they didn't have one. So they simply created a jobs boom that didn't exist. It was their key and only good economic talking point going into that midterm, and it was fake, it turns out. That 991,000 job revision covers March to March. So basically about 6 weeks of the Trump administration and the last 12 months of the Biden administration. In other words, Trump was right when he fired that Biden appointee for getting his jobs numbers so wrong. But it was far more catastrophic than that, you understand, because the jobs numbers were used by the Fed to justify not lowering interest rates. The job market, we were told by Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, it was so hot that they couldn't possibly cut interest rates. And where did that leave us? With a decimated real estate market and middle-class first-time homebuyers unable to afford homes. And it was all based on a lie. Folks, my husband's in real estate. I can't tell you how many businesses have closed and people have gone out of business and jobs have been lost. Absolutely decimated on the lie that we had this really strong, humming job market because Biden was doing so great economically and that was somehow causing inflation. So we had to leave rates high. Folks, this is Banana Republic stuff. Honestly, I don't know how the world's investors can invest in this country when all of our economic statistics up till this point were bent and twisted to make Democrats look better. They were utterly fake. If you're from Indonesia and you don't care about right versus left, you only want to invest in our stock market and make money, how do you ever trust this country again? Folks, isn't it funny? It doesn't matter if it's the FBI and Russiagate or the CIA or the Pentagon or all of these captured agencies, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They're like, it's like a virus. You know, a virus takes over healthy cells and makes them replicate virus instead. That's what the Democrat Party is like. They take over these agencies and they make them serve the party. They churn out more and more and more virus in the form of lies. But we're in control now, and that's got to change. Insane thing number two. I just can't let this one slip by in a week with so much more news. Anthony Fauci, it turns out, knew the entire time that all those closures that he did, the lockdowns, the shutdowns, didn't work. A remarkable release this week by Senator Rand Paul proving that Anthony Fauci broke the law, specifically FOIA law. By federal law, it is a crime. You can go to prison for it. You cannot delete your official correspondence. So that would include all government email on government time. It's the people's. You work for them. Well, Fauci was instructing his minions to delete the email conversations that they had. Some didn't. Senator Rand Paul got a hold of one of those conversations. And what was in it was remarkable. In it, Fauci admits that New York, which had draconian lockdowns, I mean, you remember they wouldn't even let dying elderly people see their families one more time. New York, which had draconian lockdowns, and Florida, which Fauci constantly lambasted for remaining open, Fauci admits they had death rates pretty much identical. New York County's death rate, the metropolitan area, was 0.0016, and Florida's a statistically indistinguishable 0.0018. He writes, and so on a population level, talking about deaths, Florida may ultimately turn out not to be too different from New York. Then he says in the email, oh, by the way, delete this. Why? Because at the time he was going on television and lambasting Ron DeSantis and Georgia and Florida for being locked down, suggesting they were killing people and that they needed to lock back up. What makes that so remarkable is the date on this email, the 20th of July, 2020. It means Fauci already knew the lockdowns didn't work, didn't make a difference, was even arguing that with his colleagues while going on TV and saying the opposite. And of course, we now know what he was doing at the same time. Even the world's most respected virologist and just regular people who figured it out when they said, hey, Florida's doing the same as New York. They're not doing badly. These lockdowns don't seem to be needed. They got censored by Fauci via the FBI on social media, from Facebook to Twitter to Instagram. Yeah, that gets your account and definitely your post wiped out. But Fauci was saying the same thing behind closed doors. He knew everything he was saying about lockdowns was an utter crock. Why should we care? 95 businesses permanently closed that year and slightly into the next. He was decimating these businesses, and he knew it was all based on a lockdown lie and didn't give a damn. Meanwhile, we were printing the money to pay these businesses and to pay people to stay home. We'd ultimately rack up over $10 trillion worth of debt during that era, all based on the lies of one man. And you can begin to see kind of the outline here of why Fauci's handling of COVID was such a disaster. He required a pardon going back many years afterward from Joe Biden. A pardon, if he didn't think he did anything wrong, he could have turned down. He accepted it. A criminal pardon. Again, we're beginning to see why. Folks, I only rehash this. I know you're sick of COVID as I am, but they're going to do this again. They are going to try another mass hoax. And the way the human mind is wired, it's not a bad way, is that, look, if everybody at the head of all these agencies saying the same thing, the media and all the right people are saying the same thing, I mean, it can't be a lie. Come on, there's never a conspiracy that there was, wasn't there? I want you to remember it when everyone is telling you something is so, especially if that something is something that gives the government and the Democrat Party extraordinary powers. Assume everyone's lying on an industrial scale. That's what we need to learn from this. And of course, insane thing number one has to be the murder of Charlie Kirk. Folks, on Thursday, and I've never seen this before, the top trend on X, if you're on X at all, you can tell what people are talking about the most because the keywords will trend. The top trend on X was slept, as in I haven't slept today. I didn't sleep last night. Over 40,000 people taking to Twitter, all saying the same thing. And it's probably only a tiny percentage of those who didn't sleep after seeing the Charlie Kirk assassination video. In fact, I was talking about it on the air and went home, and my husband said he was one of them. I didn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't stop thinking about that video. In our politics as a country, the Charlie Kirk assassination will go down as a dividing line before Charlie was assassinated and after. There are other fault lines like it before 9/11 and after. I don't mean, of course, to compare or conflate the assassination of one man with the killing of so many. But what the two have in common is that they're the kind of event that after is always different than before. You never quite go back to things being the same, at least not politically. Here's what else this means. David Quinn nailed it this week when he wrote, "No prominent conservative in America can now appear in the public place without fear of being shot. That is the blunt truth of the matter. Now comes the part where the mainstream media will try to paint him as some kind of Trump supporter or a non-liberal. Folks, you can't go kill Charlie Kirk and miss the political significance of it. You chose him because of it. Right now, as I read this, officials are saying they have not ascertained a motive. And the left, Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, leaders of the Democrats on the Hill, saying we shouldn't talk about this. We shouldn't talk about violence. Liberal publications, Slate and Axios, are appalled, not at the murder, but at the fact that the right seems to think that they're under attack, that they're at war, and that the left is conducting that war. Mark Halperin, former MSNBC and ABC News journalist who now does a podcast, had former spokesperson for Donald Trump, Sean Spicer, on. And he asked him, folks, this question is so absurd. Could you try to explain to us why the right's so upset about this Charlie Kirk thing?
It will be less dangerous, less volatile. If the left can understand why people who loved Charlie and believed in Charlie are so upset. So, Sean, can you take a try at explaining why people are so angry about what's happened? So people on the left can adjust to it and understand it. And
what he symbolized was a movement. What he did in leading this movement and putting himself out there. Violence in all of its forms is wrong. But when you go after Donald Trump and try to kill him twice and then go after, they're not just going after people who are active. They're going after the leaders of movements and trying to stop them. Not just stop the people, but the movement. And that's the big difference here. Violence and extremism and craziness is one thing. But when you're trying to silence Trump and you're trying to silence Charlie Kirk, you're not just going after them personally. You're going after the entire movement.
And that's the bottom line. Their leaders, the leaders of their movement, never have to worry about assassination. We do.
This is not one person, one thing, one month. This has been manifesting for decades. The left silencing, censoring, canceling people didn't just happen with the rise of Donald Trump. Since I've been in college, my college commencement speaker was canceled because a group of people thought that his positions on certain issues were unacceptable. And I don't think, to your point in understanding why this happens, is it's not, we have been told to shut up. We have been canceled, censored for decades. And it's time that this is going to change.
Maybe this is the incident that'll do it. They got 22-year-old Tyler Robinson in custody. According to a family member, he'd become angrier lately and more political. That same family member heard him talk about Charlie Kirk at dinner when he came home, and he said he was filled with hate and spreading hateful messages. Kirk, that is. Weeks later, Kirk would be forever silenced. I don't know about you, but I've been gut punched by this. So is everyone around me. But what's most interesting is that the people who've been gut punched the most are young people, my kids, including my own daughter, who's not really political. Oftentimes we're talking about politics. She'll roll her eyes. She doesn't want to hear it anymore. She's just not into it. And that's okay. My boys are, but she's not. But she was glued to this week. She was as gut punched as they were. And she said to me on a walk, Mom, why? Why would they kill him? Why do they want to keep him? He's just a nice guy. And I said, honey, that right there is what I'm fighting and have been fighting every single day of my adult life. I do something, even if it's only a post, to fight these people. It's not a single political view or how I feel on any particular issue. It's 100 million people dead in the last century. It's the Marxism that's infected the Democrat Party, and it's intolerance for any kind of views that contradict it. And for the first time, I could see it in her face. She understood. I said to her, this isn't a battle against the Democrat Party. It's a fight for freedom. It's a fight against the ideology, again, that killed 100 million people conservatively in the last century. Charlie Kirk is only the latest victim. And maybe even the brainwashed killer is too. A commenter on X this week named Mike wrote that the weak-minded on the left have become more brainwashed than a World War II kamikaze pilot. The outcome of this, what's on the other side of the before and after equation, before Charlie Kirk's assassination and after, is unknown. But nobody nailed it best in their predictions, I think, than Alyssa Farah Griffin on, of all places, CNN. They killed the wrong guy. If they didn't want to radicalize an entire generation, that already has record in the last 100 years, highest level Republican registration. Again, you can see that chart on my X feed. Highest Republican registration recorded going back to 1925. Here's Alyssa Farah Griffin.
Gen Z is going to be the most right-wing generation in 50 years. Statistically speaking, there was a huge turnout of youth voters for Donald Trump that was unexpected, something that's usually a Democratic stronghold. There's probably no individual more responsible for that than Charlie Kirk. You really can't underestimate and downplay how influential he was in activating young people and how hand in hand he was working with the Trump campaign to turn out younger voters. And I would just say this, echoing what David said, which is you don't have to agree with a damn thing that he said, but he did it the way you're supposed to. He showed up and he debated people and he engaged them to their faces. He wasn't a keyboard warrior. He wasn't threatening people. That is how a civil society conducts itself.
That is indeed how a civil society conducts itself. And you know what happened this week, folks? The mask on the Democrat Party, the one so many of us have been reflexively able to see behind as we scream and yell and try to tell the rest of society, try to warn them what is there. That mask really slipped this week. A whole generation saw it and they saw what's behind it, which is how in less than 24 hours, this song by rapper Tom McDonald made it to the top of the charts. It's called Charlie.
Shot down and he was barely 31. Another woke coward took a life with a gun. He left behind a wife and a daughter and a son. All he did was try to speak for all of us. And I'm so tired of the hatred and the narratives. The patriots ain't dangerous. Woke people are the terrorists. They shot and killed the father, sent a message to Americans. They ain't gonna stop until they bury us. Dear Charlie, I don't know if you can see us now, but if heaven has a window, I sure hope you're looking down. Cause we ain't going quiet, we gon' scream your name loud, and you're gone, but I swear to God that we gon' make you proud. We ain't backing off or giving up, I'll preach what you taught me. They may have killed a soldier, but that man had an army. This is far more deep than some political parties, and you can't kill freedom, so this one is for Charlie. This ain't the America that all our parents love. A good man tried, he keep making it great. Pray that God will take care of us, the system is failing us. When good men die for the things that they say. And I can't just be quiet, so I gotta be brave. Cause this is America, lately it's scaring us. But one good man can change it all in a day. Killed in cold blood for having a discussion, and liberals are celebrating murder like it's justice. You didn't kill a villain or the evil that it comes with. You killed a father and a husband. And I'm so tired of the left and all the wokery. We can't get along if you just kill us when we don't agree. Sniper rifle fire from a liberal that no one sees. Scared I might be next to die when I'm just buying groceries, Charlie. We'll make sure your children know that defending all our freedom is why you aren't coming home. I hope heaven has a window you can watch your children grow and hear your message echo from below. And we ain't backing off or giving up, I'll preach what you taught me. They may have killed a soldier, but that man had an army. This is far more deep than some political parties, and you can't kill freedom, so this one is for Charlie. This ain't the America that all our parents love, but good men tried to keep making it great. Pray that God will take care of us, the system is failing us. When good men die for the things that they say, and I can't just be quiet, so I gotta be brave, cause this is America, lately it's scaring us, but one good man can change it all in a day.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.